from the Royal Opera House on BBC Radio 3, tonight at 6:45. And on Sunday, a new play for Radio 3 by Mark Ravenhill depicts that troubled creative process behind Gloriana.
Gloriana is still there. It's a sort of wound.
Drama on 3, tomorrow night at 8:30.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. Just gone 1 o'clock, and this is David Cornett with a summary of the news. David Cameron is visiting British troops in Afghanistan, where he said he wants to see a political as well as a security solution to the conflict. He was speaking after the most senior British general in the country said the West should have engaged with the Taliban 11 years ago. General Nick Carter says talks should have started shortly after they were driven from power in 2002. President Obama, who's on a trip to South Africa, has held talks with the country's leader, President Zuma. They discussed trade and economic cooperation, but both men said their meeting had been overshadowed by the health of Nelson Mandela, who remains in a critical condition in hospital. Mr. Obama said he and his wife would be having a private meeting with Mr. Mandela's family, but he would not be seeing Mr. Mandela himself. An American student who was killed during violent protests in Egypt yesterday has been named. Andrew Pochter, who was 21 and from Maryland, had been teaching English and learning Arabic. He was stabbed in the chest during a demonstration in the city of Alexandria. Iran's newly elected president, Hassan Rouhani, has said he remains committed to his campaign promises of moderation and interaction with the rest of the world, but he will not give up the country's nuclear program. In comments broadcast live on Iranian television, Mr. Rouhani said moderation did not mean surrender or conflict, but effective and constructive contact with the rest of the world. A man has been charged with criminal damage after Constable's masterpiece, The Hay Wain, was attacked by a protester. Paul Douglas Manning, who's 57, was arrested at the National Gallery in London yesterday. Events are taking place across the UK to mark the 5th Armed Forces Day. The city of Nottingham is hosting this year's celebrations. The British and Irish Lions have narrowly lost to Australia in the second test in Melbourne. They were defeated by 16 points to 15. And the weather, there'll be occasional rain and cloud in the northwest. Elsewhere, it'll be largely fine, with warm, sunny spells and highs of 22 degrees. BBC News and weather at 1:03. And time now for the Early Music Show with Lucy Skeeping.
When it comes to wedding presents, most of us are pretty relieved to receive a list from some department store offering the usual casseroles or bath towels and so on. But back in 1612, two royal 16-year-olds on the occasion of their betrothal were presented with a music book, and one which has fascinated players and musicologists ever since. The young couple were Frederick, the Elector of Palatine, and Princess Elizabeth, the daughter of James I. And the gift in question was a slim volume of keyboard music by three of England's most celebrated composers. Its title was quite a mouthful. Parthenia, or the Maidenhead of the First Music That Ever Was Printed for the Virginals. And I'm delighted to be joined here in the studio by the much acclaimed young keyboard player Mahan Esfahani, who last week gave a concert at the Gregynog Festival in Mid Wales, which included music from Parthenia. We're going to hear highlights from the concert throughout the programme, and he's also going to chat about the book and about the compositions in it and, of course, why they're so special. But first of all, let's start by hearing him play. This is music by William Byrd, a preludium, followed by Sir William Peters, Pavan and Galliard. Thank you. Rémi Fa Sol La by William Byrd. And before that, we heard Preludium and Sir William Peters' Pavan and Galliard from the early 17th century keyboard collection entitled Parthenia, or the Maidenhead. And the performer there, and all through the programme, is the harpsichordist Mahan Esfahani. We're going to be hearing highlights from his concert given recently at the Greg Nog Festival. And he's joined me here in the studio. Welcome, Mahan. Thanks so much for coming. Quite a bit of your concert featured pieces from Parthenia. So let's talk a little bit first about the volume and its origins. I mean, it's got quite a long subtitle, hasn't it?
Yes, it's quite something, isn't it? Parthenia or the Maidenhead. Obviously, this is a giant pun. Parthenia coming from Parthenos, which is Greek etymology referring to virginity. This refers, of course, to the wedding, to the expectation of the, let us say, the bride's natural state at the time of the wedding. Also, the fact that this is the first printing of keyboard music in England. Things are, shall we say, a little behind in terms of music printing compared to a place like Italy, where keyboard music already appears about 60, 70 years before in Venice. And England's published music life for the keyboard could not have started better than with the best of what Tudor and Jacobean England had to offer.
Well, the next piece we're going to hear you play is by Orlando Gibbons. Now, he's actually one of only three composers represented in the book, because we've got eight pieces by Byrd, seven by Bull, and six by Gibbons. Are they particularly fine examples by those composers? What do you think was the reason for the publisher putting them in?
I think variety was a big consideration, because these three composers are as different from one another as could be. Of course, from a technical point of view, it's far more advanced than anything going on in Europe in terms of just sheer keyboard technique, but also this earthiness of it. I think there's a sort of wayward quality to it. It's not balanced. It's not classical. I think Gustav Leonhardt once said that the real Romantic period was the 17th century, and that's very obvious, I think, in this music. Thank you.
John Come Kiss Me Now, an arrangement or a setting of a ballad tune. And before that, Pavan and Galliard, Lord Salisbury, both by William Byrd and Orlando Gibbons. Well, Mahan, we are talking mainly about the book Parthenia, or The Maidenhead, which is this incredible collection of keyboard music, much of which you featured in your concert last week. We have actually got a facsimile, and a rather nice facsimile version of the book in front of us, which we're looking at right now. I'm struck by the fact that it's the very first printed book of keyboard music in England, right at the beginning of the 17th century. And yet when I look at it, to me it looks like manuscript, in the sense that it looks like somebody's actually got their little pen out and been penning it. So in what way is this printed?
Well, it's engraved, basically. This is a highly lengthy process. It takes a great deal of skill, because you're basically doing it in reverse on metal plates, probably copper plates. And as you can see, it's so intricate. And I can tell you, Lucy, that in having studied the facsimile, there are virtually no mistakes, which for the entire 17th and 18th centuries is unheard of in engravings and imprintings. It's amazing. This is as fine, if not finer, than many 18th century printings and engravings. The intricacy, the amount of detail, the way in which ornaments are listed very specifically on certain notes. Whoever did this was
so. Instead of writing out the little notes that would make the musical ornament, for instance, the first bar has got a little chord, and beneath it are two little diagonal lines. So that implies to you, a player, and certainly to the players in its time, that you were supposed to ornament this.
Yes, well, it's a matter of conjecture still, a matter of debate, what those ornaments exactly mean. We don't have a great deal of early 17th century sources to tell us. Some people say it's a trill from above, some people say it's from below, some people say it could be a slide. It really depends on the context. It's clear that they have some rhetorical intent the way they're placed. If you look at the next bar here, the fact that they've taken pains to mark all of the cadential accidentals. You know, even in manuscripts of the period, no one is this painstaking. They just kind of assume that you get it. And that's amazing that someone in an engraving would take that. This is a lot of trouble to engrave that sort of thing.
Well, we've got some more Gibbons now, pieces, including one called The Queen's Command. Tell us about this.
Well, I think this probably was written quite specifically for this collection. It's not clear how much of the rest of the music is written for the collection. At the very beginning of the publication, we see the name of the engraver, William Hole, and he writes a brief dedication to Prince Frederick and Lady Elizabeth. Now I trust shall more welcome, having learned to tune and twine together these next neighbor letters E and F, the vowel that makes so sweet a consonant, E and F being, of course, Elizabeth and Frederick. And the first two notes of the Queen's Command are E and F. So is it some premonition that she's going to be elevated as a queen and this is her command? It's not really clear. But I'd like to think that that's what Gibbons is doing.
And before that, there's a fantasia in four parts. I love that word. Is it more free for a player as well than to play a fantasia?
Well, ideas of Renaissance and early Baroque rhetoric, there's a lot of freedom afforded to the performer. This fantasia is a highly fantastical piece, if you like. The idea to them, possibly foreign to us, that something that we perceive as dry, as counterpoint, should inspire fantastical and free thoughts is something I think worthy of our consideration.
Thank you.
Fantasia in Four Parts and The Queen's Command, performed by Mahan Esfahani. Now, we've been listening to highlights from your recital inspired by the book Parthenia or The Maidenhead. Parthenia is the first anthology printed in England of keyboard music, and we know it was a wedding present. But why was it put together and why was it the first at this point?
Well, I think by this point, by 1613, it's recognised that English keyboard music has something special, and it's really sort of world-class music. And, of course, it's interesting, Byrd is still alive. Byrd is the sort of steady father of this sort of liberation of the harpsichord. And Gibbons and Bull are his sort of offspring in very different ways. Bull, I guess you could say, is the sort of wayward, imbalanced, multicolored sort of hippie of them. And Gibbons is the lyrical, quiet Clark. And I think people had recognized how different these composers were, how different their voices were as musicians. And I think it was to show what England could offer. And I think it's important to note that in the introductory pages, it mentions, of course, the Electropalatine of the Holy Roman Empire. I mean, this is England showing a good face to foreigners. It's hard to imagine, but by the end of Elizabeth's reign, you know, the Tudors had only been in power for, what, 60 or 70 years. And before the Tudors, we just have centuries of just nonstop war between different factions. And this is a period of peace, and the country finds its footing. It defeats Spain. It has a world-class navy. And this is the beginning of sort of England as a power. And I think showing music, showing that, you know, it's not simply a nation of shopkeepers, it's a nation of musicians. It's a nation of the best musicians.
Showing we can do art with the best of the Italians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think no country could have had a better introduction to the world artistically than England with Parthenia.
Well, we're going to finish with a set by our Dr. John Bull, the bad man of the Tudor period, one of them. And what are we finishing with?
Oh, well, we're finishing with a fantasy. This is from a Flemish manuscript, probably toward the last decade of Bull's life. And the reason why I picked this and the set of pieces dedicated to the Duke and Duchess of Brunswick is to show, of course, that Bull fled England under whatever circumstances is not clear. He went to the continent. He went to Flanders. He went to Germany as well. And Bull, I think, is very much the father of Netherlandish and North German sort of organ and keyboard music. I mean, without Bull, there's not going to be any Bach two generations later. Thank you.
Four pieces by John Bull, Pavana, the Duke of Brunswick's Alman and the Duchess of Brunswick's Toy, a Galliard and finally a Fantasia. The music in today's programme was performed by Mahan Esfahani at the Gregunog Festival in Mid Wales. He was playing a copy of a late 17th century Austrian harpsichord, and the virginals are a copy of the 1642 Thomas White instrument at the V&A Museum. The early music show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and the producer was Alwyn Fisher.
On BBC Radio 3, a Friday evening concert of vocal music that seems to exist on a different plane. The Greeks spoke of an ever-present music created by the planets as they revolved around the Earth, and the vocal group I Fagiolini explores the music of the spheres. Music from the Renaissance and beyond. Radio 3 live in concert, Friday night at 7:30.
another chance to hear a concert given live last Monday lunchtime with the Escher Quartet. The presenter is Katie Derham.
Hello and welcome to London's Wigmore Hall for a recital this lunchtime by former BBC New Generation artists, the Escher Quartet. Not quite new kids on the block. They've only been around since 2005, though. From the very start, they were taken extremely seriously as fine musicians who were destined to be in the front ranks of string quartets. Within months of meeting and joining forces, they were invited by both Pinchas Zukerman and Itzhak Perlman to be the quartet in residence at each artist's summer festival, which isn't bad, is it? They're a charming, rather serious group of young men. They sounded wonderful this morning in rehearsal, so I'm very much looking forward to their performance this lunchtime. We're going to hear them play Ravel and Prokofiev. First, the Prokofiev, his quartet number 2 in F major. Now, Prokofiev wrote this in 1941, having been evacuated with many other artists from Moscow when the Nazis invaded the Soviet Union. He found himself in Nalchik in the North Caucasus, some 900 miles south of Moscow, and there he wrote his second quartet, inspired by the folk rhythms and melodies of this region, which is bordered by Turkey and the Black and Caspian Seas. You'll hear the string quartet imitating Oriental plucked and percussion instruments. Well, they're coming to the stage now to perform a work which was first played by the Beethoven Quartet in Moscow in 1942. A later concert that year was delayed by a Nazi air raid. Hopefully we won't have anything like that today. So here they are on the stage. Violinists Adam Barnard-Hart and Aaron Boyd, viola player Pierre Lapointe, and cellist Dane Johansson to play Prokofiev's String Quartet No. 2 in F major.